is Jennifer Hunt with Ina Miles and Pat Clark on the 7th of May 2014 at Christ the Servant in Stockwood, Bristol. Ina, would you like to introduce yourself?
In what way do you wish me to introduce myself,
Jennifer? Tell me a little about yourself and your life.
I am married, and we're here in Christ the Servant because normally we play bowls here. So my husband is playing bowls. I have worked full-time all my life for the Legal Aid Board in different... It has different names over the years, but I think it's now called the Legal Aid Commission. I finished my career as a senior executive officer, and I thoroughly enjoyed my career. At some stage, Pat and I will let you know how we became involved with WRVS, because both of us find that quite interesting. At the time when we joined, because we came together, we both worked full-time, and we both had elderly parents, and so therefore the only day we could offer was a Sunday. Would you like now to perhaps get some information
from Pat?
Would
you like to tell me about yourself?
Yes, I'm single, unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately. I worked most of my working life in education. Firstly at St. Matthias College in Bristol, teacher training college, and then when we were amalgamated, we became part of the Polytechnic, eventually becoming part of the University of Bristol. My role was mainly concerned with the registry side of the work and the admission of students. Thoroughly enjoyed my time both at St. Matthias and at UWE, and still have a lot of contact with the students that I met then. I still see some of them now. I lived with my mother for a long time after my father died, and now I'm on my own, but have very good friends, and like Ina, come here to play bowls on a one dinner Wednesday, and have lots of other hobbies as well, including working for Oxfam, being on my local library committee. I'm the chairman at the moment. We both worked as volunteers at Horse World, which is just down the road, and I think we can say we're fairly busy.
Mm-hmm. And so why did you both join WRVS?
Well, it's a joint story in that sense, isn't it? Because one of the things Pat didn't say is we are both committed churchgoers, and at the time, I think we were still both on the church council
at St. Nicholas.
At St. Nicholas Church in Wychwich Village.
Well, I still attend, yeah.
Mm. And it happened to be one of those coincidences. I can't even remember what the sermon was about, but it was about, if you like, I'm sure it was about going that extra mile, wasn't it? Something
like that. And we went in for coffee after the service, which is a normal thing we do. And one of our friends, who was
retired
and already a volunteer with WRVS, said to us, we desperately need people working at the BRI.
Yeah.
And we both said, we're both working for full time. And she then replied, well, you can do Sundays.
Yes.
So and that was the beginning.
That was the beginning, the guilt complex.
We both said,
Well, yes.
Ina said, I don't think my husband will mind. And I said, well, my mother won't mind. So we started
So we started work on Sundays, yeah.
What was it, 1987?
1987, August.
Yeah, August 1987.
And when you say the BRI, that's the Bristol...
Bristol Royal Infirmary, yeah. But, I mean, everybody knows it as the BRI.
And what did you know about WRVS before you joined?
Probably
not much.
I know they were the green uniform ladies during the war years, didn't they?
Yes, I mean we had seen the pictures.
And we'd seen the pictures with the uniforms
and the ladies on their bicycles.
We knew that they had
coffee shops in various hospitals.
Yes, but basically that was it. Yeah.
And what was the name of your friend who was already a member?
Edna Stone. I mean, she has long since died, but
she had been volunteering for a number of years because she'd retired before.
Yes,
yeah.
And what were your opinions of WRVS when you joined?
Didn't have any, really. We didn't know much about it.
Well, we didn't know much about it.
Apart from the fact that they had the coffee shops.
But I think one we could honestly say that having done it, we absolutely loved it in the initial years, didn't we?
Yes, because there were lots of things going on. You know, we had to be vetted, we had to have references.
Yes, we had to provide two referees.
Two referees, and then we had to go for this sort of induction.
We had it was the office in Redland. We went for a session there, which was taken by two uniformed ladies in the old uniform, which suddenly began to make it very formal. But having said that, our very first session was taken by a lady called Phyllis. Don't know her surname, do
no,
we?
No, never knew her surname.
And that was it.
That was it. From we just went in on one Sunday.
And we were completely responsible.
Yes. And we did everything in those days. Mm. We got the keys from the porter. We opened up the safe.
Checked
the money. We ran the session at the end of the time. We checked the money again, put it back in the safe. We did everything
in those days. Yes.
But in those days, everybody was a volunteer. There was one man in an office in Redland.
Yes.
Who was responsible, a paid employee, who was responsible for all the hospitals and in charge of all the volunteers. And everybody was a volunteer. I mean, the person who ordered the goods was a volunteer. The person who did the rota for each hospital, they were all volunteers.
Yeah.
There were no paid staff apart from Mike. That was his name, Mike.
Mike.
Yes.
Again, we don't know his
surname. But we always used to call him Mike.
And he was sort of like the hospital organiser.
He was in an office in Redland, and he was the WRVS organiser for the whole of this, all the hospitals. That would be the BRI, Southmead, Frenchay, the General Hospital.
Yes, because
and any of the smaller ones that were around. St
Michael's Maternity Hospital.
Yes, and there was just one man in the office looking after all that, and everybody else was a volunteer. I said, Phyllis, it gave us our first introduction
to how to
operate the machinery and operate the tills. She was, again, a volunteer.
She was a volunteer, and we never saw her again, did we?
but it was,
to be honest,
it was fairly straightforward.
But it was more than that, I think, Pat. You have to keep it in context that we were both working full-time in responsible jobs, and therefore we slotted in it slotted into us, and we slotted into the situation very easily.
It was a release, if you know what I mean. It was a kind of extra thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, my friend used to say to me, you used to say, you like playing chops.
I like playing chops. You know, it's... because at certain times people would come in and say, oh, you are so kind, to do this.
And we were enjoying it.
And the thing is, we were enjoying it, and it was a complete release for us from what we did full time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I used to say to him, I love this playing shorts.
It was really a relief, wasn't it?
It was extremely rewarding.
And we thought we were doing something.
It was very rewarding.
Because the
then.
People that came into the coffee shop in those days, I mean, of course they can't do it now, they've got a commercial venture, but people used to come in and sometimes just sit in the corner and weep, and they just needed a friendly somebody to go and sit next to them. Or, they didn't know where they were and they just wanted somebody to talk to. And we really felt that we were doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And particularly people who came a long distance.
You see, they would come over from
Cardiff. Children's heart surgery was a great thing in those days.
And
people used to have to come from Cardiff, and some of the people were very distressed.
And they'd come up from Cornwall, because it is a teaching hospital, isn't it? And it was always that sense, they were so, so grateful.
You felt a bit embarrassed sometimes because they were so grateful. And we thought,
we should be grateful to you for letting us come.
But it was
for me, I think those, you can't keep looking back, but for me they were the good days, because you were responsible. Mm. And now, you know, I know times move on, but now in a way we're a number. We're not really responsible for anything because there's somebody always around, I won't say telling you what to do, but with the advent of the paid supervisor, which we didn't take too kindly to, if I'm strictly honest, not at the beginning.
Not in the beginning, no.
You learned to
because of all the work, because of all the years of volunteering, and people had done it for nothing, and it did come as a bit of a shock.
And also, if one is strictly honest, and I know this is okay, it's only being archived. Sometimes the paid supervisor wasn't the sort of person you would accept in your own working life. Was it?
No, no. And that, didn't seem to have the rapport with the public.
No.
That there was an attitude change.
It certainly changed.
An attitude change. Yes. And it was more of a commercial venture rather than being, as we always thought, a social thing that we were helping people. It suddenly the sort of commercial aspect began to take over. And it seemed that was more important than being able to go around and sit and talk to somebody. Yeah.
Because it was important to the people. They might not even come in for a drink or anything.
But they used to come in their wheelchairs.
In their wheelchairs.
And they'd come in with the drips, you know, the saline drips, and say, can we come in with this? And I used to say, well, as long as it's not gin, because we don't have a licence.
Yes, of course.
But over the years, that sort of thing changed, and it didn't seem as possible for them to do it. Everything seemed to be more cut and dried, you know. It wasn't as friendly and as open.
And also, in those early days, we would have our regular people coming in. Do you remember the bag lady?
The bag
should
lady,
come in
yeah.
and just sit. You know, it was somewhere warm, off the street, wasn't it? But you accepted it. Whereas I don't think...
And over the years, we had several like that. Yes. Several men came in, you know, just sat down, but they, you know, they would be out of place today. They couldn't do it today.
They couldn't do it now.
And the hospital used to allow them to, you know, they didn't mind if they came in.
Yeah. And there was a nice relationship with the porters.
Yes.
If you remember.
Yes, they were very, very kind. Yes.
They were very kind, all for the reward of...
cup of coffee.
What was left with the coffee at the end,
you know, we had
it?
A little...
Yes.
But very, very, you know, it did change. There was a subtle change, but it changed.
Over the years.
And now it's quite different. It's very clinical, if that's the word I can use.
I think it's a good description. I think, too, one of the changes that really, really saddens me is, you know, I've given Jennifer that tea towel, which really sets out everything we used to do, because if you remember, we in the past we would have done the odd creche at the
Bath and West show and things like that, Lost Children, that sort of thing.
It doesn't say it on that badge, but it's the slogan we've got today. I'm not happy with the slogan we have today. I know you're not responsible for it in any way. But it said, what was it, words to the effect, helping the elderly or something. What did it say? It does say it on the heading.
Together for older people.
Together for older people. If you left out the word older, I'd be happy with it. Because I really don't, I mean, for me, volunteering to help is to help anybody.
I mean, because the children and, you know, the parents and things.
Not just... You're very kind not to say, well, you're elderly as well. But,
we know that,
But we know that now.
But the thing is, if the WRVS, when we joined, was as it was today, I wouldn't have volunteered.
No.
I wouldn't have volunteered.
No.
Not just this sort of, all the emphasis now is on the elderly. And as I said to you some time ago, it's almost like we're becoming a branch of Help the Aged.
Yes.
It suddenly developed from what it used to be, doing all sorts of different things, helping the whole community, to becoming part of the... I know that's the way it's going, but we thought that
And we had the likes of us, had no input into it. I don't know some level these decisions are made. Presumably, would it be a board of trustees or something? But I also wonder if that's one of the reasons locally in Brazil, I don't know what it's like elsewhere, I think they struggle to get volunteers. I don't know what, you know, how the future's going to develop, but you don't get people coming along to offer to volunteer anymore, do you?
No, no.
Very seldom.
I mean, I know we were sort of, we weren't retiring age when we volunteered,
no,
because we were both working full time, but we did have a lot of people then who were round about our age and
yes,
younger.
Yes.
And younger who used to come
yeah.
in, because we were in the coffee shop one side, but there was a little supermarket the other side,
yeah.
and they had quite a variety
of
ages working there, you know. But it doesn't seem to happen now.
No. Because you said that you used to supervise Duke of Edinburgh Award.
Yes, we
yes.
did.
Yes.
Do you
yes.
remember any of those people who
Well, we remember
several of the boys were wonderful. I mean, they really yeah. were. They were from the most elite schools in Bristol. They were from Clifton
yeah.
College and Cathedral School. I know other schools took part in it, but the ones that came to us...
Because they came to us
on a Sunday.
The so
ones
you can't speak to what happened during the week.
No, but
no.
the ones that came to us on a Sunday were very well educated,
yes.
very much eager, you know, very much in a sort of eager capacity to help and do what they could. And there were some wonderful lads that we had.
Yes.
I mean, we were mentoring them and helping them, but we got as much pleasure out of it, I'm
yes,
sure, as they did, you know.
I mean, generally, because of their background, they were used to, if you like, stepping forward and saying, you know, hello, can I help you, weren't they? We only had the one lad we had to encourage to do that.
Because yeah. most of them were very confident.
Yes.
Coming from public schools, they... You know, it built into them, I think.
But
really.
That was also a little bit of an eye-opener, because I'll never forget the shock we had with the one lad.
When the till broke down.
I was thinking more of his 5-bar gates for adding up.
Yes, we didn't have the till wouldn't work one day.
So we had to make notes, and I suddenly saw, we had these 5-bar gates, and I thought, What's he doing? And he said, oh, well, that's the way I do my figures. Right, okay, you know, what are you going to do, you know, when you... What's your ambition sort of thing? But, oh, I'm going to be an accountant. I have visions of, you know, billions of 5-bar gates. Well, he was lovely, wasn't he, that lad?
Yeah, he was lovely, yeah. But, you see, the day the till broke down, we couldn't use it. We just had to transfer the money to a dish at the bank. And as we did it, we made notes as we went, and we were absolutely accurate to a penny at the end.
Yes.
And we were adding it up in our heads. And I said, would you like to check this? And he said,
yes.
Well, I haven't got my computer. And then
yeah.
my calculator. And then Ina said to him afterwards, what are you going to do when you leave school? And he said, I'm going to be an accountant.
He was loved.
And they were good for us, because we enjoyed it.
Yes.
It was another
demonstration. Yeah.
You know, something else we could do.
But there was that also, you said about the fire, the tempers. One of the things that regularly happened when we were working on Sunday is the fire alarm.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You'd lock up, you know, troop outside. On this particular day, we got in and the fridge or the, you know, the chiller cabinets had leaked.
We had water.
So there was water everywhere. So we started clearing, and this lad, well, there was another lad that had come in. We started clearing this up, fire alarm went, so he had to leave our flood and go outside, and the heavens opened.
We were standing outside, and you know, it's...
And got back in,
and you jokingly
said to me, well, we've had the lot today, haven't we?
Flood, tempest.
What's tempest? Wasn't it?
And he didn't have a clue. We said, you know, from the Bible, there's always fire and flood and tempest,
yeah.
and he didn't have a clue. But he was lovely.
They were
all lovely.
Yes.
Especially the tall ones that could reach the top shelves, and I didn't have to climb up on them. You know, they say, oh,
yeah.
let me, and this was wonderful.
Yeah.
So that was very enjoyable. We
They're
enjoyed
extremely
that.
Happy days.
Yeah. But again, in those days, you see, we did everything.
Yes.
And
yeah.
over the years, the responsibility has gone.
And I think that...
Makes a difference.
It makes a difference to some of the some volunteers would be perfectly happy with that, but I think we were so used to taking responsibility during the week
yeah.
that it, we didn't take that kindly to it initially, did we, if we're honest?
No.
You know, I suppose we felt our feathers were a bit ruffled, weren't they? If one is strictly honest.
If one is strictly honest, yes. I mean, yes, I mean, from being responsible for everything, you're then just being told what to do.
Yes.
You just felt as if you were a pair of hands.
I mean, you weren't allowed to open the safe.
No.
Check the money. And we always like to check the money because
to make sure it's absolutely
accurate. But suddenly, no.
But that's how it's changed, you know, from being responsible to being, well, like, it felt like a dog's body sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, but we still enjoyed, being with the public and doing what we did. That was the main thing. We still enjoyed that.
And so why did you stop volunteering at Bristol Royal Infirmary?
Go on. We didn't, actually.
They closed it.
They closed. We were kicked out. No, I don't know whose decision it was. I understand WRVS put together business plans and tendered to run the coffee shop.
When the new, the new development bid was put on the front. And they didn't get the contract.
They didn't get the contract. That is the sole amount of our knowledge, isn't it?
Yes. We don't know why.
We don't know why.
We just thought they'd automatically carry on.
Yes.
Because the structure was there, the volunteers were there. And the lady in charge was,
She had all the assets, didn't she?
And had been there a long time. And we didn't get the contract. It went to Costa Coffee.
And so you had a whole body of volunteers, basically, who were without any, here we are, nowhere to go, wasn't it?
And the children's hospital only had a sort of cupboard in those days. They didn't have they didn't have a proper coffee shop in those days. They only had a little sort of cubby hole. So, I mean, there were all the volunteers in both the shop and the coffee shop that were...
homeless.
Well, absolutely, yes.
Homeless.
Just we didn't stop. They lost the contract,
mm-hmm. And so then you moved to.
Well, we've been waiting.
We have. I mean, we remained on the emergency call out list.
Yeah.
But there was this whole period, wasn't there, when the children's hospital wasn't up and running.
Yeah.
Callington, we heard sort of through communication, wasn't it, that there was. The potential for volunteering at Callington Road.
That's right, yes.
And Southmead, well, Southmead, if you're going to volunteer, you're not going to trek out to Southmead.
It's getting there, it's a long way.
I had to take my husband out the other couple of weeks ago. The whole of Bristol is a 20-mile-an-hour zone now, and it took me an hour and a quarter. Well, you're not going to go volunteer an hour and a quarter there, do a couple of hours and then come home an hour and a quarter, are you? So for people south Bristol, the new hospital is a no-go area almost, isn't it?
Yes, because it's
just
the opposite side of the city.
It's the opposite side of the city. The children's hospital wasn't up and running. If the children's hospital had been up and running almost... straight away, we would have probably said, "Well, we'll transfer our Sunday there."
Yeah,
but the gap has been too long, hasn't it? I think it's been 18 months.
Yes, it's up and running now, but
yes,
we're still on the list, but they haven't called us.
They haven't called us, but we were contacted about Callington Road, which is literally only 10 minutes away.
Yeah,
so we do there. I have to say, my own feeling is I don't know how long they can go on sustaining that opportunity because there isn't sufficient footfall to justify it. And I think when people volunteer, they do like to be busy. When Pat and I have been there, we've basically caught up on our chatter. Haven't we?
Oh, yes.
And I expect if we take over the thing at Horsewell, we'd probably do our business meeting there. It's that quiet, isn't it?
Yes. You know, in about an hour, you get about 10 customers.
you know.
But they did say that when they're after the sort of Easter holiday.
Were you okay with that?
They were over the holiday, there would be conferences and people coming, you know, to have special sessions. Yes. But we don't know what sort of footfall that will be. But we only had about 10 people in an hour. So, and of course, the prices are, although they're reasonable in compared with coffee shops.
Yes.
They've got machines already in the lounge, which is a very nice, pleasant lounge.
It's extremely
nice. But they've got machines there that are selling things, you know, a third of the price.
And they just can't compete.
You can have a coffee in the coffee shop for a pound, but you can get one for 30p from the machine.
Yes.
So we don't know how that will affect it, you know. Whether that's what the staff use or we don't know, but we didn't get very many people.
Well, I know the last time I went in, it was the comment about the prices, particularly, it's always the soft drinks. Coffee and tea is reasonable because
it's
fresh.
And it's filter coffee, yes.
But the prices of the soft drinks, if they're allowed a pass to go over to Tesco, they'll immediately say to you, well, it's cheaper in Tesco.
And it's only across the road.
So, you know, but that's the present. So where that would take them, I don't know.
I can see you editing quite a bit of this out.
Not at all. And so you talked a little bit about the differences already, but how is your role at Callington different from Bristol Infirmary?
Well, the actual role itself isn't much different, is it? Not actually what we do when we
No.
I mean, basically, over the last few years, we haven't been responsible for for anything.
No.
We are responsible now for getting the float out, which we weren't allowed to do at the BRI. But that's an extra little job.
But it is so quiet, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that you just think, oh, good, I can count the money, don't you? But basically, it hasn't changed at all in there. You just go in, don't you?
You know, make the coffee, make the tea. Take the money. I mean, basically, it's the same.
Yes.
And do you still have time to talk to people who visit the
shop? That is, I don't know if Pat will agree with me here, that is, for me, one of a particular negative about the job. I don't know if you're aware what Callington Road is. It is, it's a hospital for those who are disturbed. You know, they could, in different levels, isn't it? It could be someone who's completely, who needs to be sectioned, and so therefore is in a secure unit. Well, they're not allowed out. But you have then degrees, don't you? Mm-hmm. That perhaps somebody has had a breakdown, and maybe a recovering drug addict even.
People just come in for the day to talk to counsellors and things
yes.
like that. It's mostly
but
mental health.
It's mental health of some description. And you, with the best will in the world, and this is something I found, is you don't know who is a member of staff or who is a patient. And you then find out the hard way. And you suddenly realise this is not someone I can really relate to. Because you look. Oh God, I forgot the thing. Sorry.
I'll pause.
Yeah. So you've got the patients, and you can't really relate to them because you don't know what their problem is. And I mean, there was one chappy. I didn't know he was a patient, but he came in and he said to me, oh, you know, my name is Alan. So I said, oh, hello, how are you? And he put his hand out, you know, and I thought, fine, shook his hand. But it's only when he came back about the fifth time I thought, I think we have a problem here, you know, because he would say things like, oh, I like your perfume, all things like this. And you can't really relate to them. I think it would be extremely dangerous almost to approach them in the way that we would have approached the people in the BRI coffee shop.
Yeah.
you know, because if someone was sat there clearly upset, you'd
go over and
you I know perhaps these days you shouldn't touch
them, but we used to go and touch
them. We would touch them, but I think it would be a little bit dangerous. That's too strong a word, but it wouldn't be appropriate to get too involved with someone who's then clearly a patient.
Because you've no idea. You're talking to somebody you think they're a member of staff, because they're talking to you about the price of things, and then suddenly somebody comes in and says, "Oh, come on,
yes,
come on, Margaret, let's we need to go back now." So that's, one has no idea. And it's quite different, and of course at the moment it's not busy, which we used to enjoy about the BRI.
Yes.
Because our last supervisor that we had, Gareth, used to say, when we got in lunchtime, he used to say, "Well, I don't know what's happened. We haven't been at all busy this morning, but the moment you two arrive, everybody seems to come in."
Back and we stood outside shaking a
And I used to say to him, "Well, I did ring Radio Bristol and say, Pat, in the coffee shop this afternoon." And he used to say, "But we're so busy when the Sundays you're in." I don't know what, just one of those things.
Yes, I think it was coincidence. It was Sunday, people's day off or something, and they were coming in, weren't they?
And maybe also because we were fairly quick in our responses to people, serving people, we very rarely had a queue, and I think that had a lot to do with it, because if people walked past the door and saw a queue, they'd go on.
Yes.
But we very rarely had a queue because we were sort of quick serving people, and I know some people, through no fault of their own, weren't as quick. And there's some days, if you went in a week, sometimes there'd be a huge great queue outside the door, wouldn't there?
Yes.
And people would just walk past. But maybe it was because we were a bit quick, or as Gareth used to say, they come in for a laugh.
And some were, yes.
Yes, we had some quite bizarre experiences.
Yes, I've not forgotten. Do you remember, never did know what he really was. He came in and he asked permission to take photographs. Because it was some project he was doing
for his university degree, wasn't it? Yes.
And it was an unfortunate choice of words, wasn't it? Because he said he would like to take a picture of us on the counter.
Yes.
And we have visions of us stretched out like this, don't we?
Yeah, everybody in the company. Yeah, I mean, all the people that were there were all happy to have their pictures taken, weren't they? We used to have an artist who used to come in regularly. We thought he was visiting somebody at first, and he came in regularly.
He came in every week.
And he'd bring in his pictures, and then he'd show them around to everybody. It was quite an experience, but it has changed. In fact,
the very last session we did, which was shortly before they closed permanently, the hospital chaplain came in. Because the hospital chaplain came in regularly on Sunday, and he apparently didn't know it was closing. And what he said to us was, he said, "Who is going to hold the hands of the customers?"
If they're in a commercial enterprise.
We don't know.
He didn't even know that they'd lost the franchise. I think at that point we didn't know we'd lost the franchise. We just knew the coffee shop was closing for a while.
And that was it.
We thought, closing for refurbishment, because they were moving the whole commercial bit outside and making a new entrance. And we didn't realise at the time that it was going to be put out to tender. And we were very surprised when it was, A, put out to tender, and B, that we didn't get it. I mean, after all the years, we did 25, but it had been going a lot longer than that, hadn't it?
The BRI coffee shop
had been serving the hospital all those years.
Actually, when you look back, we must have started pretty much near the beginning.
Yeah, I don't quite know when they started, but it was also very useful for the staff, because there was nothing open for the staff, and they used to have to just come in and buy sandwiches or something to take upstairs for later on in the day, because their own bistros that they had, closed at 2 o'clock on a Sunday. Yeah. So, it was a good hub to meet the staff as well as the patients. We found it quite quite an enlightening experience.
Yes.
We enjoyed it.
We enjoyed it, and we're still working towards 30 years, aren't we?
Yeah. Got a few more to go, yeah.
Only what, three.
Is it 27 now, is it? Oh,
only okay. Three. We'll make it.
Well, we had our 15-year medals, mm-hmm. then our 20-year badges. What's the next one? Is there a next one?
I think it is 30.
30.
Oh, they'd probably give us a retirement certificate or something.
It's the gold watch.
Oh, is it? Oh, that'd be nice. Oh.
And do you work with any other volunteers, or is it just you two on Earth?
From choice, we work because we work well together. We're used to each other, and it makes a huge difference, particularly when you're busy, that you know physically where each other is, doesn't it?
Yeah. And we always made it a rule that if I was working on, I usually did the money and the till, that I didn't touch any of the food.
I did.
Ina would hand over the food and the drinks, and I would take the money. Mm-hmm. And it worked very well. And we knew exactly where we were. Never got in each other's way.
I have worked with other volunteers. Certainly, we would say the last 12 months, because Pat had an unfortunate accident last August, didn't you?
Last July, I broke my arm, yeah. So I was out of action for nearly a bit. I'm only just about getting, I can't put my hand in my pocket.
No.
but
I have worked with other people, yeah.
Mm. Ina works well with anybody.
Yeah. And you also work with other people on the emergency call-out. Mm.
And does WRVS provide any other services at Callington Road?
No, that is it. It's a very new venture, as I say. 5 weeks, I think, we thought, didn't we? I know they've got they're committed to 6-month trial. But it's my own gut feeling that unless the footfall picks up, I can't see that it's going to remain a viable proposition.
And there are a lot of people being made redundant, people working at Frensher Hospital that's just closed this week. There are opportunities, I think, for some of them to go to Southmead, but it's a very long way.
Yeah.
If you live this side of the city, it's a very long way to get there. And people who live into Gloucestershire that could get to Frensher, that's a long way. But there's about 100 people, they think, that have been volunteering at Frensher who would no longer be required. I mean, they want some of them, but...
Depends where they live. And...
Yeah, Frensher closed. I think it's this last week they just closed the hospital. Everything's being transferred to the new Southmead Hospital.
It's just unrealistic.
And the hospital's in the wrong place.
it is for South Bristol, isn't it?
I mean, we could get to Frensher quite
a long, reasonably easily.
But Southmead is.
But you see, we do have a local hospital at Hengrove.
That's a recent one.
Which is a recent one, but I don't know whether WRVS missed the boat, didn't apply in time for any opportunities, because there is a coffee shop there, but. That's run by Costa.
It's a commercial thing, isn't
it? It is Costa. I think Costa must be putting a lot of money into the hospitals.
Yes, because I've been told by other volunteers in other areas, such as Staffordshire, that they got a Costa instead of a WRVS.
My cousin in Cardiff, they've got a Costa in the car, the big Cardiff hospital.
It worries me. I read an article recently, because I've often wondered... who is Costa? And apparently it is Whitbread's.
Oh, the brewery.
The brewery.
Oh.
But
I thought they were American.
Well, I did from the name, but apparently it's Whitbread's. And I think it's all very well that they can put a lot of money in and perhaps commit themselves to 2 or 3 years, but they can equally pull out then if they don't make the money they want, can't they?
Mm-hmm.
And then the hospitals will be...
Because we used to make a lot of money for the hospital. Mm-hmm. I mean, the money we made in profit, of course, we had no overheads. We had no lighting or heating to worry about.
And you didn't pay.
And we didn't pay the staff, apart from, like, those supervisors. I mean, we did pay the staff come the last few years. But we did make a lot of money for the hospital to buy equipment that they needed. I mean, when something like a scanner or something, then the money was there. Or we did an extra few things to raise money.
Yes.
But so that went when we closed down. But
and the other thing, Pat, too, is we never claimed any expenses.
No, no. Ina used to pick me up in her car because she came in from the country to pick me up. Never claimed for expenses. No, she never claimed for petrol all the time she was there. All those years.
You know, so if you multiply that, there was quite a saving, wasn't there?
And a lot of other people probably did the same. You know, they didn't claim for their bus fares and things. So we did make quite a lot of money for the hospital.
Yes.
I mean, whether they'll make more in rent from these people, we don't know. I'll just have to see how it works. But we were absolutely staggered when we lost the contract.
And do you remember some of the gifts that you brought for the hospital through the profits?
Well, we brought the scanners, didn't we?
All sorts of equipment.
We bought special beds. I can remember the special beds, you know, for people who had found it difficult lying on an ordinary bed. They would have these, I won't say water beds, but special beds for lifting parts of them up.
Whenever the hospital wanted something. I mean, they've got friends at the hospital as well that raised money as well. So usually between the amounts that they got, they were able to raise the money over a period of time.
They did a lot of redecoration for the children, didn't they? Special decorations
in
for the children.
In the children's hospital, yes.
And there was some of the murals, those lovely murals that were on the walls to cheer the place up. Those were paid for by...
Yeah, I mean, whatever they asked, I mean, whenever we had the money, it was given to them at the end of the year, and then they spent it.
See,
and if they wanted something special...
They were making a lot of money. They must have been making a lot of money per week.
Yes.
Because we were taking nearly about £400, £500
on Sunday. Yeah, so I think there was... I mean, obviously one had to pay for the stock and things like that. But again, we had no heating, no lighting. I mean, it was all part of the hospital. We were in the same corridor as everybody else.
Yes.
So... You know, we weren't a drain on their resources in that one because the corridor was lit, you know. Had we not been a coffee shop, it wouldn't have been an office. So, I think we did make quite a bit of money for them. But we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it.
Now, can I ask you, Alice is not going to listen to this, is she?
No.
Right, because one of our most memorable days, and it will always stay with me.
And me, yes.
Was the day... Dear Alice said she felt she would come up from Devizes to present us with our medals. Well, you have to picture the scene. You know, coffee shop is full. People were queuing up, weren't there? There was this chap with his drip.
Yeah.
With his father or something. And Alice came in. We didn't know her, but she came in. And said, hello, I'm Alice Cleland. Lovely. And she turned, and it's because you know Alice, she turned, she clapped her hands and said, ladies and gentlemen, now, there's this man with the...
Drip.
And she said to him, here's my camera, I want you to take a photograph. Clapped her hands and said, ladies and gentlemen, and she's got this beautiful voice, hasn't she? She said, I am here... to present long service awards to Pasadena here. She said, and then she turned to us and she said, on behalf of Her Majesty the Queen, and so forth, so on. Well, this whole room, the coffee shop, all erupted, applauding like this. And we spent the rest of the afternoon trying not to giggle.
Trying not to giggle, yes.
It was just so lovely, wasn't it?
She came up specially to do it. And it was her graciousness.
Yes.
And the way she said, ladies and gentlemen, and there was absolute silence. I'm here on behalf of Her Majesty the Queen. to present these ladies with their long service bag. Of course, there was applause. One would have thought we were on the stage somewhere. And the rest of the afternoon, people kept coming up and congratulating us. It was wonderful.
It was it?
It was a wonderful...
It stays with us. Yeah. And it was this insane desire to giggle for the rest of the afternoon.
I couldn't look. We couldn't look at each other because every time we looked at each other, we started laughing.
She said, wear them with pride. Yes, it was. It was a wonderful day, wasn't it? And she very kindly, because she had met us, she then asked us would be willing to be involved in that session in London.
Oh, yes, they had a volunteering afternoon at St. James Palace.
And that again was
wonderful. Sitting under a portrait of Henry VIII, you know, the Holbein one, drinking our...
Champagne,
and eating our sandwiches was quite an experience.
Yes, but that was all thanks to dear Alice.
But that was a wonderful day. That was a volunteering day when they were inviting people from business,
from all the big industries, wasn't it?
To get publicity.
Yeah, to get.
I mean, I was talking to a young lady who just chatting away quite happily, and she tells me she's a high up official in the Metropolitan Police. You know, they were in, and she said she'd had good experience of working with the WRVS, as it was in those days, because of the vans going out on emergencies. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. But that was all due to Alice.
But we had that particular day after Alice had gone, you know, because she'd really put herself out, this Indian gentleman, do you remember?
He
came up to us and he saw, because we had those badges, and he said to us, he said, you should be proud of the crown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very proud.
Yes, we are proud of the crown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why have they taken it off?
I think it's... I don't know, Pat, isn't the answer. I really don't know. I don't know, is it political correctness? Something to do with that?
I don't know.
Because it disappeared with those sort of Sainsbury's colours, didn't it?
Yes, when we had those horrible mauve orange.
Yeah, it disappeared then, didn't it?
Oh, that was awful.
It's when we had that. Look, you see it disappeared from there.
And that's the purple and orange. That's the 2004 logo. Yes.
Yes.
When we were invited to a conference to discuss the new logos, and we sat in the room and the gentleman gave us his little talk about why they were changing it and it was more commercial, and I said, but surely this is a fait accompli, you've asked us here but you've already decided
everything.
And he said, well, no, not at all. And I said, well, the letter headings we had inviting us to come and everything else was already printed with it, and I think people were quite angry then that they were going this commercial. That's when it started.
It did start.
When it started, that things began to get much more of a commercially orientated organisation.
Mm.
And I know you have to make money and to keep it all going.
And as things grow, you have to become more professional. But I don't. I think it. You do need to retain hold of the core principle, don't you? Of why people volunteer.
Because we felt it had changed, that we felt that the change was coming, began to come then, that the emphasis, instead of being on serving, was then on commercialisation and making money. Mm. That's what it seemed to be. At that point, that was when it began, you know.
But I think, you know, you're quite right. I think if we weren't already volunteers, you would think twice about, for me...
Joining now,
because I don't like the way it's restricted to, if you like, serving the elderly, together for the elderly. We are elderly, but you've still got something to give to across the generations, haven't you? I think.
Because, I do some volunteering for Oxfam in the shop, bookshop, and I love being with the children doing things, and we also volunteer at Horse Road, and again, there's lots of young people and children oriented. So you're not always sticking with the, you know, with us, our own age group.
True. I think it restricts too much. It's too restrictive, isn't it?
But obviously you've come into it when it's just been in its present form.
Yes.
Yes. So you don't know about all the funny things we used to do. Yes. We never actually rode a bicycle round, did we?
No. No. But
not quite that old.
No, but we were more than happy to do the things that were on that tea towel. You know, as I say, we used to help, not on a regular basis, because it was only perhaps once or twice a year. The crash shut down at the Shepton Mallet showground, didn't
we? Yeah, the Bath and West or something like that.
Yes, we'd do that. But, you know, even that now has changed, because to have done something like that, you'd have to be CRB checked.
Yeah.
Which is no problem, I know, but when we joined on the basis of two people giving us a reference.
Yes, do they still do that? Do they still ask people for references? Yeah,
they do, yeah. But I think they also do the CRB check, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, we've been, well, I've been CRB checked anyway, but. Yeah, way the world has changed, really.
Yes. Mm. It was much more much more volunteering in the sense, true sense of the word, yeah, in those days.
And you'd go the extra mile. And that, again, is something I notice, that people are much more aware my stint ends at 4 or my stint ends at 1. We never used to do that, did we? We used to say...
No, if we got into the car park early, we wouldn't sort of have a coffee or anything, walk down, we'd go straight down to the hospital, and the minute we walked in the door, we weren't due to start until 2, but the moment we walked in the door, whether it was 10 past 1, 1:15,
we'd
1,
start well.
The people that were there would put their coats on and go, and we'd start. I mean,
you didn't
sort of say, oh, we got another half an hour before we start.
But I've noticed that at Cannington Road, they're much more, you know,
it's 1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock.
I have to go, yes.
Yeah. But never mind.
Some of the people that were there, you see, said that they were happy to volunteer. These are the new people we've met, because several people have come in to have a look around. But for the footfall that we had, it wouldn't be worth them driving an hour and a half to get there. Monday, you said, I'd like to be busy, didn't you?
Yes, which is fair comment.
Well, we like to be busy. Yes. Yeah.
I feel we should be asking you some questions. You better turn it off.
So also, you're part of the emergency services team.
Yeah.
With WRVS. And you joined in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that involve?
So far as emergency services is concerned, it's almost historical, this, isn't it? Because from many years ago, you and I said...
We would be available,
we would join.
I didn't put that on my piece of paper.
People would take a note of your name and address, will come back to you, never heard another word. Now, it just so happened in 2011, I went to a meeting at Long Ashton, and I couldn't think you
go,
were aware.
Yeah.
And there was some ding-dong and to and fro, so forth and so on. And I happened to say, well, I think you miss an awful lot of opportunities, because my friend and I we've been volunteers since 1987. We're forever saying, you know, we would be willing to do the emergency call out. I said, but nobody ever contacts us. And a lady who was in the room said, well, you're on it now, put your name down. The lady called, I know you didn't actually meet her, Ruth, the lady called Ruth. And she said, we've been crying out for volunteers for a long time. Mm. I said, well, we wrote to Cardiff.
Yes, you did, yeah.
We wrote to Cardiff and said we would be willing. There was somebody in London who said they were head cook and bottle washer of the whole thing.
Oh, yes. When we went to St James's Palace, we were talking to a lady, and she organised it. Yeah. And she said, I'll make sure you're on the list.
But it was only when, at that particular meeting, so it just simply involved Ruth who lives at Clevedon, and they just cover basically Somerset, this area, Bath, you know. There was a little training session with a lady called Barbara Sparks, which I went down to at Wells, and very straightforward, no problem. And then I had we had a phone call from Ruth, not last year, the floods before, when there was a possibility the river in Bath was going to flood over. She said, could we be on standby? That was one, but then it felt quite important, a bit like wartime, because a bit later on she rang through to say, you are stood down.
That's right, yeah.
Like a fighter pilot. And then...
Well, you've always been ready to go.
Ready, yes.
Yeah, I forgot to put that in my paper.
And then earlier this year, obviously with all the floods in Somerset, they wanted volunteers to help in a very simple way, to do tea and coffee for the people who are much, much more involved, you know, say the firefighters, things like this, because you'd have only been a nuisance if you'd gone to the actual sites. Mm-hmm. So we were involved in that. And that, in a way, is much more rewarding, because again, you're catering for the whole spectrum of age, and different people. You know, people were, they've lost everything, and so they were only too pleased to see you doing very basic things like tea and coffee, and so that is very rewarding. But having said that, you don't want all these terrible things happening to make you feel useful,
no, do you? No.
Not really.
No, you'd rather they didn't happen.
You would rather they didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But no, so I have been stood down, or we have been stood down like fighter pilots, haven't we? Yeah. So we, in that sense, you just wait for a crisis to arise, and then usually it's this lady Ruth, or will ring and say, can you help? You know, are you mm-hmm. available? And there's a great emphasis on you saying no if you feel you can't do it, it's not convenient, or you just don't want to. They do stress very much, you must say no if it's not for you. But hey,
tea and coffee and a sandwich, it's no problem, is it?
It's no problem, is it? Not really. And Pat's very good at staying awake at night, aren't you?
Me?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I don't go to bed very early. Yeah, no, that's okay. Mm. Yeah.
And have you received any training for the emergency services work?
You get a basic training of such things, of what you should perhaps have available to take with you, such as, because you don't know how perhaps long you're going to be out. The Somerset level thing was very straightforward. You knew you were going for a session. The Bath one was a bit more of a no-no, because you didn't know. So the idea is that you take with you a spare pair of knickers, a couple of layers, because you don't know how hot it's going to be or how cold, your toothbrush, something basic like that. I would always take a spare pair of shoes as well. They would also, although having said that, I think it's going to be more the person who leads I'll call it rescue, than yourself, to be aware of where you can. Are we stopped a minute? Oh, it's Mike. As I say, I think probably it would be the leader of the group who would need to know some of the information. But it's useful to know such things as the avenues to go for food, and to be aware that you don't know who's coming in. They might be vegetarian, they might be Muslim, so you need to take on board sections as make sure you've got vegetarian soup, you know, just pure vegetable soup. And so they again, they stressed you can never go wrong with fish and chips for anybody. And also be aware that your local, say you're in the middle of nowhere, the local pub is usually very good and very helpful. But the Somerset level ones, the local supermarkets were really extremely generous. And I do hope they get some publicity and thanks for that, because it, you know, wherever you looked, it was Tesco, Morrison's in particular was very good. Yeah. And I'm not flying a flag for Morrison's, but they were, yeah.
And have you been on any exercise emergencies? Because I know that some volunteers do exercises.
They do exercises, but I have only been to one. It wasn't an exercise, it was a more of a learning session in Bath for the council workers. But the actual exercises we haven't been on. The training session in Bath was quite an eye-opener because the council workers had to deal with a fire that had happened in Debenhams when it was being built. And they hadn't taken on board the need to make sure people know how long they can work. So that some of the people there found they were there for over 24 hours with no means of contacting their home base. And again, with young mums, that kind of thing, they need to know in advance because of childcare. Then simple things like pets. So it was quite a learning curve for them. But those are the only ones I've done. I sometimes think, you know, the exercise is the one I thought, well, it was to do with what you would do in a nuclear fallout, was one I remember they were doing. And I thought, well, I couldn't go anyway. I don't think Pat could go.
Well, I've been out,
you,
really.
You've been out of action.
Since last July with my broken arm, I've been, you know, I couldn't, can't do anything. I can't lift anything much in the moment, but...
I mean, you're getting there.
I'm getting there.
Like, yeah.
Getting there.
But I couldn't go to that one anyway. And I thought, well, I know we might get a nuclear fallout, but...
We'd make the tea if it... We'd make the tea.
And we've talked about some of the changes that have happened while you've been volunteers. But in... sort of 1992, there were change when we became a charity, and there was also a chief executive introduced. Did that affect what you were doing at all?
It must have been then. It
must have been then that the changes started.
And we didn't entirely appreciate that, did we?
No. I always thought it was a charity before.
Yes.
I didn't realise that they got, you know, this special thing, no. But it was then that things started to change, from being a whole volunteering thing, you know, to having chief
Looking
executive.
Back, I think it must have been
the time, yes, when things started to change.
And perhaps it was when they became a recognised charity that they said there had to be paid supervisor.
Paid supervisor. I don't know.
Probably
that was...
Sorry, that's a bit of a don't know
don't
there.
Know, yeah.
But was that when you started seeing more and more staff becoming involved with what you were doing?
Yes.
Well, it must have been.
Yeah, when we had the paid supervisors.
We would have done 5-6 years by then.
Because on Sundays, we never had a supervisor.
No.
I mean, you know, up until then, we never had a supervisor.
But then we did have quite a series of them afterwards.
Yes.
The years go by, don't they, actually?
It probably was then.
It was
when
probably
they started
then.
Coming in.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew there were people in the week responsible for organising, like the money and the ordering the goods and arranging the rotors, and they were suddenly paid because they were doing a sort of full-time job the whole week. But then we started getting the other people on the weekends, which we'd never had before.
That's right, yes. So it must have been the watershed.
Must have been that, yes.
Yes. But we were slow to pick up on that until you just said.
Yeah, because suddenly somebody would walk in one day. I remember one afternoon somebody walked in and said, just sort of came in and started to come around, and I said, excuse me, excuse me, this is WRVS only. Public are not allowed to come around. And I'm such and such a supervisor, never even heard of the title. And that's when it started. We suddenly had somebody coming in saying, you know, I'm in charge of this.
Yes, and never met
them. And never met them, never didn't even know the post existed.
Because actually, even right to the end, in a way, we never did meet any in managerial positions, did we?
We
just met the supervisor on Sunday.
Yes.
So, I don't know, perhaps they didn't want to meet us.
I don't know, no. But that's when it started changing. Obviously, that was when it started.
Yes.
But I didn't realise, you know, before then that they weren't a charity.
No, I made that, always made that assumption.
Yes.
And then, sort of a bit, about 5 years later in 1997, we stopped doing things like children's services and services welfare.
Well, we just noticed this gradually, didn't we?
Yes.
You know. We weren't asked to do anything.
No. That's the point. We were suddenly we realised we haven't done that. Prisons have gone, and isn't it?
Yeah, something else is gone. Yeah,
and one of the first things we noticed was the sorting of clothes in Redland.
I was telling Jennifer about that because Mrs. The lady that worked next door to me did that every Tuesday.
Yeah,
that was one of the first things to go, wasn't it? But we didn't realise why.
No.
Perhaps we were a bit. A bit slow on the uptake.
No, I think to be fair to us,
because we weren't involved.
There was no communication.
We weren't involved in that. So
no, and there was no communication anyway, was there? I mean, the communication in this newsletter that comes out now is a fairly recent origin, isn't it?
Oh yes, we didn't have anything like that. We never had a newsletter.
So as we didn't see any managerial people,
and we never had any newsletters locally. I mean, we used to go away to do things and we'd talk to people and they'd say, oh yes, we did this, we did that. We never saw anybody, not from our area.
No.
We never saw anybody.
And until we, with the paid supervisors, Gareth was the one we had the longest.
Yes, yes.
But some of the others, they would come and go. So if there was any information to be fed down, we never got it because they would be there 1 month. Wouldn't they? And then perhaps 2-3 months down the line.
And then we suddenly hear that there'd been a lunch arranged or something had been arranged and nobody ever told us. We really didn't have any communication with people. And then gradually, as I say, over the time, we sort of say, oh, that doesn't happen anymore. Or, I didn't know you didn't do that. Oh. And then somebody would say, oh, well, I don't do this anymore. And it was very, very gradual.
It was gradual.
And how did you feel about that decision to stop doing a lot of what we were doing in the past?
Well, had we known at the time, I think we might have said something, but it was so gradual we didn't realise, but it's not something I welcome because we did enjoy all the other activities.
Mm.
Because one felt you were working with the whole community.
Which is what we liked and what we volunteered for, you know. But it does bear in mind what we were saying, doesn't it?
Which was what the WRVS was all about, helping everybody.
It was just voluntary service,
you know, wherever we were needed, whichever age group, whichever section, community, wherever we were. That was it. It's
and working in the hospital is the only. Site, isn't it, in a way that you can still maintain that?
Yes,
because if you do any, because there's some kind of telephone system, I don't know if that's still going, is it?
Yeah, there's the befriending schemes with a telephone
call. But everything now is concerned with older people.
Yes.
And as I said, if we had to volunteer today, we wouldn't have volunteered
Is that befriending?
We might have volunteered for the coffee shop because you see everybody at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
So we might have still volunteered for that.
Yes. But we're going to keep going anyway, just to reassure whoever listens. We we're going to keep going, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've already talked a little bit about the changes in 2004 with the colour changing from orange, from green and red to orange and purple, and all that sort of, not really being consulted on that sort of thing. Was that any different last year when we changed the name and the colours and the?
To be honest, I think we expected the change of name.
Yes.
Because of the men that had been working for such a long time, hadn't we? We did expect that to come.
I don't know where the groundswell for that came from, though, because generally most of the men didn't seem to worry.
No, they didn't. They didn't seem to worry, no. But that wasn't an unexpected thing when it came.
And in fairness, locally, they did have two or three meetings, didn't they, about it. I personally am pleased they've gone back to the green.
I'm pleased about that.
You know, the traditional colour. You know, because it's always been known as, you know, the people in the green pinny.
And I do like the new logo, the women's, you know, the Royal Voluntary Service. I like the way it's done. I like the logo. And I like the colours. Mm. I like the pale green. Because, again, it's going back to the old green, isn't it?
Yes.
Orange and mauve I hated.
But always reminded me of Sainsbury's.
Well, I just didn't like the... I just said to the gentleman who was introducing it, there's no way I'm ever going to like orange and mauve together. However long it's there, it just doesn't go for me.
I didn't mind the purple, because we did have... I mean, I've got a whole wardrobe full of aprons and
things. So have I. We've got different ones.
Yeah. But I quite like the solid purple.
Do you want any aprons for the collection? Because we could give it
some collection.
You won't believe how much uniform we've got.
I bet you have.
Yeah. I always fancied the hat walking down.
Yeah, the green hat.
The green hat walking with a badge down. On. Yes, walk, you know, on Remembrance Sunday. Yeah. But they don't ever get involved, do they? I wouldn't mind marching down Whitehall with a green hat on. But anyway, back to your interview.
Back to you.
We also opened some hubs, which are a bit like the centres we used to have in the 80s. Have you had anything to do with those?
No.
Not really, centres?
No.
There isn't one in Bristol, is there?
There's a Bristol and Somerset one.
Oh, Bristol and Somerset.
Is that the one in Porter's Head, though?
I think it is.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, that's not actually... That, to me, that's not Bristol.
That's not Bristol. but perfectly honest, I don't really know what they do.
No.
I just thought it was a centre... for the local manager, Laura, and then John Clifford, the area. I thought that was it. Is it?
No, oh, is that where Laura is in Porter's Head? Oh, yes.
It's meant to be a bit like what we used to do with the centre, where you could go and meet other volunteers there and go and see the centre organiser.
Do they really?
Oh. Because when it was in Clifton, when it was in Redland in Clifton, there was just one office and nobody ever went there, unless Mike rang you up and said, can you pop in? We didn't meet people there.
As far as I'm concerned, let's say that that is something we didn't know and that they've kept to themselves, just in case you might go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't consider Porter's Head Bristol, I'm afraid.
No, it is Somerset.
It's quite a trip to get down there, isn't it? Yes. It's not somewhere I would regularly want to pop in.
It wouldn't attract I wouldn't have thought a huge catchment area, would it, there? But anyway, that's where they like it.
Anyway, that's...
So since 1987, when you both started volunteering, has there been any other significant changes that you've noticed?
Generally, or with
with WRVS itself, and or with how you've been volunteering at the hospital?
Well, again, really, it's just gone from being a purely voluntary thing to being a commercial enterprise, as far as I'm concerned. That's the change. That's where the difference is. I mean, I work for Oxfam and I've noticed the difference there over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same sort of things happening.
Yeah.
You're more paid staff and more red tape, really. More things to do. More systems coming in. You know, you must put it in this bag and you must put this tag on it and this sort of thing. Much more structured in a way. Much more business-like, I suppose.
Well, it's, so therefore, yes, much more commercial.
Commercial, yeah. That's really the main thing. Yeah.
I suppose. But
working with the public hasn't changed. I mean, that's the same.
No, because that is one thing you cannot clone. You can't clone individuals to respond, can you, in certain ways? You can suggest, perhaps, certain ways of dealing with people, but you can't clone that.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps that's one of the things we've missed from when we started, because we were responsible, weren't we?
Yeah, we were responsible.
We were individuals, and we were responsible for that day and took a huge pride in it.
Whereas now, you just go in.
You just go in.
You do your shift, you come out again. You're not responsible for anything. Yeah. So.
So how has your knowledge or opinions of WRVS, Royal Voluntary Service, changed over the years?
Well, again, from that, it's become from a voluntary organisation to a commercial organisation.
And I don't know why the decision was made to move away from serving the general public to concentrating on one element of the public. I still don't know why.
Mm. I assumed it was financial, because they got money from the Help the Aged People or you know, the government, because they were concentrating on that area. But it just suddenly seemed to move.
I have no idea. I don't know if you know. Do you know why they made that decision, Janet? No.
Things just started appearing, and every in magazines and things, articles, more articles about visiting the elderly, more articles about helping the elderly, less about activities with young people. It just suddenly grew. Like Topsy, from nothing.
But you see, if you asked us, but there's no need to ask us, if you asked us, do you know who the trustees are?
No.
No.
Do you know who anybody is? No.
No.
Apart from you now and Alice.
Yes.
And the people we used to work with, and Laura, of course, that we know now. Only just a few people.
But in a way, you feel you should know who the trustees are. Because they're the ones, presumably, who are meeting regularly and making these decisions, aren't they?
Yeah, we don't know when. We don't know how. It was a gradual movement away from helping the general public to helping the elder population. And it did come as a gradual thing, didn't it? Like gradually dropping things.
But you see,
and taking on other roles.
Yes, but personally, I would argue that was a huge mistake, unless there was some kind of pressure put on them by government. Because if you think about it, helping the elderly, one of the areas would have involved Meals on Wheels.
Yes, well, that stopped, didn't it?
Now, you take this area, nobody does Meals on Wheels.
Now, that was always WRVS.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, WRVS or RVS...
We're involved in...
You know, they're losing their base, aren't they? Because at some stage, they're not going to need... If you think they've now been shut out of hospitals, they're shut out of doing Meals on Wheels...
Prisons? Do they still go to prisons?
No, but I'm thinking, say, specifically of the elderly.
Yes.
What is going to be left for them? Not a lot, is there? They're doing this befriending scheme, which, you know, I did get details about, but personally,
the police, I wasn't happy about that. No.
What's left? There's the library service, isn't there?
Yes. There's Books on Wheels.
But there's not a lot, is there?
No. But you see, the ordinary libraries do Books on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, libraries in Bristol do Books on Wheels. Mobile libraries.
Yeah.
Always have done.
Always have done. But you have this gut feeling that at some stage all avenues will have be closed, won't they? There will be nothing left.
Yeah.
I hope not, but...
No. So would you say that's what you see as the future for the organisation?
I don't know that there is a future. No. I think they need to start reopening some of the doors they closed. I don't know why they were closed in the first place, but you see... I suspect there might be a good reason why they were closed.
But again, we were never told. And again, so as I say, we didn't even know that this shift was happening. It just was, you know, mm-hmm. a gradual thing.
And so, to sort of conclude, what would you both say is your most memorable moment as volunteers with WRVS?
Most memorable. I know what my most memorable
is. Well, Alice giving us our medals. Alice.
And that insane desire to giggle the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, the gracious way she came all the way up to present us. But we didn't want to go to a medal ceremony because there were only the two of us there. I mean, sometimes there's about half a dozen and they have a proper ceremony. We didn't want that. And Alice said, I'll come up and give it to you on a Sunday.
It was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Was that coupled with St. James?
Yes. Being able to help on that. Because that was that we felt we were doing something then because we were promoting the... You know, what we thought was a W1. We were promoting them to all these big industrialists and capitalists and all the showbiz people. We really felt we were putting the WRVS in their faces, really.
Yeah.
And what we were doing a publicity stunt, really.
There have been lots of
small
fond memories, but that medal situation with Alec was just... I think it was just... I mean, we can even remember word for word.
Word for word what we said.
All this time.
One of those days, yes. Yeah, one of those days.
Yeah. Bless her.
I mean, the general thing of we've always enjoyed helping the people in the hot in the coffee shop.
Yes.
I mean, we've enjoyed actually physically working there, but we've also enjoyed the contact with the people.
Yes.
That's the main thing. And the feeling that one was doing something. Because the chaplain, I remember that last Sunday when the chaplain didn't know we were closing.
No.
And he said, well, who's going to come out? Who's going to come out and help the patients? And he said, you've always done such a good job. And we thought that was quite a compliment.
Yes,
you know,
you've always
been there, not just to give them a coffee, but to give them a smile and a friendly word. And
to hold their hand.
And that meant such a lot to us when he said that. Yeah. You know, he said, you've always been, you know, there to help them. And who's going to do it now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's gone. Because you can't expect the young people in Costa Coffee to come from round the counter. They won't have the time.
They won't have the confidence either. They're still building up their own self-confidence, aren't they?
I mean, some of their staff are very good. I mean, some of them are excellent. When I broke my arm and I went in a coffee shop and I said to the young man, I'll take that coffee and I'll come back with another. And he said, no, you won't. You go and sit down and I'll bring it.
Yeah.
You know, some of them are very kind, but they won't have the time. As we used to have. I mean, one of us would go on serving and the other go and sit in the corner. But you can't do that in the commercial enterprise. But, and we've enjoyed it enormously. Wouldn't have missed it for the world, would we?
No, it's given us more than we've given
back, yes.
Yeah.
But the fact that we've been able to help a little bit,
mm-hmm.
One feels that you've done something. Not very much.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Have we given you?
It's been excellent. Thank you. It's been an excellent contribution that will give us lots of information and help us at the archive as well.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.